This is The Guardian. Regid Ahmed here on Gadigal land with the full.
And we take this responsibility very seriously.
Today, Telstra's Chief Financial Officer, Michael Ackland, fronted up to the nation's media to apologise and answer questions about a massive outage that plunged the country into chaos. It stopped trains, turned off traffic lights, and forced shops to close after EFTPOS systems failed. And some calls to 000 went unanswered.
In calling 000.
Although most connectivity is now restored, the outage has sparked political recriminations and questions around what needs to change to make us less vulnerable in a country as highly connected as ours.
And Telstra needs to account for how and why that has occurred, because Australians are right to expect that as a baseline service from their telco.
Today, technology reporter Josh Taylor on the Telstra outage fallout. It's Thursday, the 9th of July.
This podcast is supported by Brisbane Economic Development Agency. When Altus Steel CEO Paul Zuckerman chose Brisbane for Australia's first low-carbon steel mill, Brisbane Economic Development Agency, BEDA, was there from day one.
BEDA was an early relationship for us, and they've just been so supportive. I think they're great at connecting businesses and really just open doors for us.
Brisbane Economic Development Agency connect business, research, and government with opportunity. Search Choose Brisbane for more information.
Hi, Josh. It's good to see you again.
Great to be with you.
You cover a lot of outages for The Guardian Australia. When did you know this one was a bad one?
Yeah, so normally I have a bit of a process for figuring out how big an outage is going to be. I will usually wait 20 minutes, half an hour after we get reports of it. I'll see if it's localized or if it's just, you know, in certain areas or if it's national. And when I saw this sort of come through, I woke up at about 5 a.m. on Wednesday and saw alerts about the Telstra outage and then thought, oh, we'll wait and see how it goes. We had some blog posts already in the live blog. And when I left home to go to the gym in the morning, I noticed that, you know, I'm with one of Telstra's subsidiary providers, and I noticed I had no mobile coverage at all. And it was at that point that I was like, oh, this is actually going to be quite big if it's 2 or 3 hours since it began and it's still ongoing. And this is the rush hour. This is when people are trying to get to work and things like that, fill up their cars with petrol. And that's kind of when I realized that it's actually going to be a very big news story for the day.
That's right. I was rushing into work and I realized I had no connection. And I probably looked up from my phone for the first time in about 10 years as well. But we know what happened. This was really serious. It hit a lot of sections of the country, really major services. There's still ongoing issues. But can you tell us why this happened? What went wrong?
We're really still waiting for really, really technical detail about what happened. But essentially what Telstra has said is that it was a software fault that impacted what they called the GPS node. And this is basically a sort of a server within Telstra that tells the rest of the network what time it is. And this is very critical to keeping the network running because it, you know, allows sort of how data is transferred and...
Well, network clocks are essential, right?
Yeah. It's very important to keep time. And the software fault, we're still sort of figuring out if it was a software update that went wrong, because that's usually what happens. But it apparently caused this time clock to become out of sync. And that caused a lot of havoc for the rest of the network when it was suddenly being told the time was different from what it actually was. And as a result, it meant that phones couldn't then connect to the network. And that's how we ended up having that 4 hour outage, or, you know, 5 hour outage that we saw on Wednesday.
This is almost starting to remind me of the whole Y2K thing, the turning of the century. I mean, I'm a layman, but tell me, is it right to be shocked that such a basic thing can go wrong?
I mean, whenever I'm covering these stories, whenever there's a massive outage, whether it's sort of the Optus one a couple of years ago, or whether it's the CrowdStrike one that took out all the Windows computers that are across the globe, I'm always amazed that the cause is always something different. Like, it's very rare that you get a sort of a repeat error. And you know, presumably that's because people learn from their mistakes and it doesn't let it happen again. But it's always something different. And I spend a lot of time in my reporting on outages hunting to figure out what it was. And this was quite unexpected. I think the Y2K reference is quite a good one because, you know, everyone always says that this is one of those things that everyone was scared about and didn't actually happen. It didn't happen because people actually fixed it before it was allowed to occur. So people were doing the work to make sure it wasn't a problem when the clocks ticked over.
Well, that's going to take us on to how we need to technically fix this. But before we get there, I do want to talk about the politics because that is the reaction we're seeing today. When something like this happens, who takes responsibility? For example, De Head's role at Telstra?
That will be the interesting thing to see when we get sort of more detail on what actually happened. Telstra's doing its own investigation. The ACMA is doing its own investigation. We saw with the Optus 000 outage that we had last year, the report from that, they conducted an independent report into it. It was sort of a combination of human error and then issues with software. And it doesn't sound as though anyone was ultimately held solely responsible. The CEO sort of took the share of the blame and said that, you know, we've got processes in place. He was relatively new at that point in time. I think it will be interesting for Vicky Brady, who's Telstra's chief executive. She's actually been on holidays overseas. She's cut that short. She's coming back.
Oh, so she is coming back because there was criticism there that she wasn't.
She's coming back. Yeah, and it's one of those things where you want the CEO to front up. I think Telstra's chief financial officer, Michael Ackland, has been doing a very good job, surprisingly. Like, he has been going into that technical detail about the cause, probably not as much as I would like, but he seems to have a very good grip on it, has been sort of a very clear communicator. So I think a lot of the telcos, I think the companies have probably instituted training since probably the Optus data breach a few years ago about how not to handle a moment like this. So I think a lot of them, not just the companies, but also the government, has probably learned about how to speak to the public during a crisis like this.
Before we move on, it sounds like it's not quite clear who might take the fall at Telstra at this point.
Yeah, it's still too early to say. We need to get a full rundown of the intricacies of how this update or this software fault was allowed to push out to the rest of the system, and basically what was essentially a single point of failure had such widespread consequences for not only Telstra, but for the economy across Australia.
And as we've mentioned, it is still sort of unfolding as well. Speaking of holidays, it was notable that Communications Minister Annika Wells also came back early from leave.
I was not surprised about that. I think if you recall back when the Optus 000 outage happened last year, she was due to be flying to New York to go speak about the social media ban at the UN. And she hastily changed her flights, and that led to a lot of reporting afterwards because the new flights that she had rebooked were quite expensive for taxpayers. And she copped a lot of criticism for that. She was fairly quick. I mean, it was mid-afternoon by the time that she was in the Blue Room in Parliament House speaking to reporters. So she was making sure she was there and available as quickly as possible. And she's been doing sort of a range of media interviews since then. So I think there has been a lot of lessons learned, I think, in the last couple of years about how quickly politicians need to front the media when something of this scale occurs.
Right. Some of the optics bumps in the road might have been worked out. But there is sort of the regulatory elements as well. I mean, was there an issue with how quickly Telstra made the government aware that this was a big problem?
Yeah, I mean, that's always going to be the point of concern. I think I've seen reporting saying it was about 4 hours or a couple of hours that she wasn't aware of it. I think in a lot of these situations, the telco is often trying to figure out, oh, actually, what's going on before they actually brief the ministers. And there's been so much ground tread between Optus and the government over what was the timing of them being informed on that. And I think that Telstra was relatively quick over a couple of hours, but probably not as fast as people would like. I think modern day communication, even when the mobile network's down, they want that instantaneous response and they want to be alerted straight away.
And we're so reliant on it. Do you think there's going to be a focus on faster reporting to the government?
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to be part of the sort of the next stages when we get this ACMA investigation basically saying, did the government get informed in a quick amount of time? I remember when the Optus 000 outage happened last year, they were sending emails to the wrong addresses and there was a lot of miscommunication there. It'll be interesting to see, just sort of to compare where we are now to where we were then, whether the systems have improved. Obviously, you've got the 000 custodian, which is the government sort of role to oversee the emergency call system, whether the communication with them was much better because this wasn't sort of in place when the last incident happened. So it's going to be a bit of a progress report on how Australia is better at handling these sort of situations now, because it's almost a year between the events, but it's definitely not going to be the last. We're definitely going to have more coming down the pipeline.
You've answered a question I was going to ask you about whether hopefully this never happens, but we'll talk about that in terms of the technical elements that I just have to ask you. One more political element, the Shadow Communications Minister, test calling 000. Why has that sparked so much outrage?
All the advice that you're told that you're not supposed to call 000 if it's not an emergency, and Sarah Anderson sort of saying that she is in a unique position because she's a parliamentarian and a shadow minister and wanting to understand how it's working or not. I think it is fairly irresponsible, I think, has been the criticism leveled today. We saw Telstra yesterday, they said that they had roughly 333 calls to 000 during that outage, and that is higher in volume than what they were expecting. And they think it's because a lot of people were actually trying to test call 000, because probably in part because there's been this discussion in the media about the availability of 000 in that time. And so I think people are much more aware about it than they were maybe a year ago.
That's an interesting point. Did the Optus debacle maybe erode some trust in the system, do you think?
I think it has. And ACAN, which is sort of the consumer action group for telecommunications, they've been sort of surveying people about how they're feeling about access to 000. And it is something that the public is concerned about. And I think, you know, media, we do have to report on this, but I think that we potentially have fueled some of the concern about the availability of it. Telstra is the operator of 000, so they're the ones who run the service. And they've been quite defensive in the past about how it's operating and wanting to make sure it's basically 100% of the time it's available. So this could change over the coming days, but it seems for the moment there hasn't been any sort of fatalities as a result of the service being unavailable. And in a lot of the cases where Telstra's network was not available for people to connect to 000, TPG's network or Optus's network picked it up instead. So it seems like in a lot of cases, at least, that the system was working as it should.
We'll be right back. Josh, there's this ongoing conversation now, as you've described, about trying to improve our processes and making Australia more resilient because we're so connected. So what, if anything, does this particular failure show about the flaws in our connectivity?
So outages happen in many parts of the world all the time, potentially as long as the ones we experience, you know, in the last couple of years. But I think that it's more pointed here because of how few telecommunications providers we have. So in mobile, we just have Optus, Telstra, and TPG. And it means that for Telstra, when they have the lion's share of the mobile network customers, an outage from them is going to be more felt than one of the other carriers.
Because they're so essential, basically, Telstra is sort of the backbone.
I mean, Telstra's had this reputation for so long as being the, you know, the old reliable in the most places across Australia, and you pay a premium for it, but you get what you pay for. And I think it would be interesting to see whether this sort of damages that reputation. But I think, as Annika Wells said earlier this week, that telcos are some of the least trusted companies in Australia, and we can kind of see why when we're paying a lot of money for them and not getting the service that we expect.
But in terms of the technical element, I mean, are experts telling you that we need some sort of backup system? What do we need to change?
So the experts that I've spoken to are basically saying that the company's always going to have, as I sort of alluded to before, there's always this unexpected single fault that has widespread impacts. So some of those can't be accounted for, but for businesses where telecommunications is a vital thing that they need, or if, you know, if your FPOS machine is hooked up to a mobile network or something like that, they're talking about having backup options. So maybe if you're in a store, you might try and see if you can have your FPOS system connected to a fixed line network, so that way if the mobile is down, then you've got that. If the fixed line is down, then you've got mobile. If you need to sort of have critical access to communications, you might have a backup service. So if you were Telstra, you might have an Optus service as well. I thought it was interesting. So one of the things that happened as a result of the outage yesterday was that V-Line, the regional trains in Victoria, went down because the communication system wasn't working.
Which really surprised me. I had no idea trains had anything to do with 5G.
How it works is that they have these network communication systems that allow the train drivers to talk to the network operations center to make sure everything's going okay. And I was thinking yesterday, why didn't they have a backup? And it turned out that they do have a backup. They have satellite phones in all these train cabs. But for some reason, when this outage happened, it interfered with the satellite phones, so they couldn't get the satellite phones working while the 4G was out. So they've spent the last day and a half sort of trying to fix that. So it's just one of those unintended consequences. I think even when you try to build in resilience, sometimes these things can have unexpected impacts.
Well, given that, just finally, I know they're still trying to unpick what's happened, but where do you think the pressure and the focus will be next to potentially get us to a point where maybe this doesn't happen again?
It's more about how we build resilience across not just the telcos themselves, but also across businesses and making sure they all have redundancies in place, because I think we are super reliant on these networks. And I've been covering tech for, 15 years, and there's always something new, always something different that's going to take something out, and we always have to be prepared for that. And although, widespread criticism has been made of politicians seeking to suggest that this was some sort of cyber attack for which there was no evidence, and Telstra has denied that it was a cyber attack, you've always got to think, what would happen if this did happen as a cyber attack? Like, would we be prepared? How quickly can we respond, and how quickly can we get services back up?
So those are the questions we need to be asking. Josh, thank you so much for giving us this update and filling us in. And I'm really glad that you have mobile connection again.
Yeah, we'll have to try and stay connected now.
The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. Don't forget to follow Full Story wherever you get your podcasts, including on Spotify. I'm Regid Ahmed. See you soon.